The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe. Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live out here at day one of SEC Media Days. 102.5, 106.3, The Game's SEC Media coverage is sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Willie D, D-Mace,
hey.
Happy SEC Media Days.
Happy.
How we doing?
Hey.
Hey.
There he is.
What's going on,
all
guys?
Right.
Oh,
can
man.
You hear me?
The gang is all back together. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, man, look at
look,
that.
Everybody is
that
here. Everybody is here. It's a who's who
it
of SEC
a,
Media.
A packed man. House.
We're just starting.
Yes. But
our show has a time. You know, we have to have timing. On the show, unlike some shows, you know, start whenever you want, finish whenever you want.
We're not mentioning anyone specifically.
Yeah, we're
just
anyone.
Saying in theory.
Man, well, look at this guy. Uh-oh. Look at the other guy that's right next to him.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. We've got a special guest.
Have we double booked?
No, we have not. The first guest of the week, the ceremonial first guest.
I love the green shirt, though. I really do.
It's free. I played in the same event.
So you got
yeah,
the same
shirt. I got the same shirt.
So let me see if I've got this right.
Yeah.
You're telling me about scheduling and times and...
It's very important.
Well, yeah.
Punctuality.
Where did you learn all that?
I had a great teacher.
Hey, y'all want a really good story that'll make him look bad?
Oh.
Go ahead. Oh, man.
So, is this really how we want to start our week?
So... I hired him out of college
after
the Blue Jays got rid of him. And one night he says to me, and I quote, "I can't be on when Vanderbilt's playing."
You know, I had a lot of status back then.
Right.
D-Mace is coughed up along over here. He's laughing so hard.
It's not like Randy's a juggernaut or something.
Are you going to make it, by the way? So I told him in no uncertain terms that I didn't give a damn about his schedule, that we were going to operate on the show's schedule.
Yes. Oh,
so when the Predators made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, I called him one day and I said, "Have you told the Predators that you can't work because Vandy may have a game?" And he goes, "Are you still using that against me?"
Oh, yes.
I guess the answer is, yeah, it was easy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He still says it to this day. Can't work. I'm totally kidding.
Luckily, they don't have too many games from 11
can't
to 2.
Play. Yeah, so, when Danny's playing.
So you feel like what I'm doing now lacks structure?
No, I think it's great. But you know, if you want to start minutes late, you can. It's okay.
Well, we did.
I just saw that the other day. I witnessed it.
So, what is it you all intend to do today?
Give me
an idea of what we should
do. George, as you like to say, George Plaster with us here. Uh-huh. You know, silly underdog picks. Hopefully he'll be back for another season unless we run him off here today. But as you like to say, George, we always strive for broadcast excellence.
Right, and in lieu of that, just do what just the hell do it is you do.
Exactly. Yeah. That's our philosophy.
Well, it starts with the lady to my right.
So she provides excellence. Some, and
yes.
Exactly. Sort of,
okay. She provides the class, and we just kind of
got to keep
her out of coattail. Yeah.
If I'm the one providing the class, that's when you know we're in a kind of a scary position here.
So how long are you all on?
Until 2.
That's a pretty good length of time.
Yeah.
Is that why I'm on filler?
Yes, exactly.
Filler.
Yeah.
So, what do we think? Has anybody looked outside? You can't turn left.
Oh,
you
man.
You can't turn it's right.
West End is unrecognizable.
Oh, my God.
When you look down from downtown, down towards Vanderbilt area, all of that construction, it is it's unreal.
It's an
Did
obstacle
Vandy
course.
Vandy Babb real estate over there?
Say that again.
The Vanderbilt Babb all the real estate over there.
They don't confer with me about monetary decisions. Look, I got a diploma. If they knew then what they know now, it wouldn't have happened.
But you this is pretty cool, though. I mean, you've been to many SEC media days going way back, but this is pretty cool to have it here. And it's a good setup.
You can't get here, but
it's hard to get here.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to get here.
Oh,
but
my God.
It's cool to have it in Nashville. It's cool to have everybody here talking about how much of an event it is having it in Nashville, maybe rather than a Hoover. So it's fun to host everyone.
They had it last year in Atlanta and the Braves weren't home.
That was a bummer.
What good did that do me? So anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
George,
I'm glad
appreciate
I could be
you for joining us.
Well, I sort of invited myself. I mean, it's not like...
As they say in Anchorman, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah. Willie, it's great seeing you.
If you need a guest a little later.
Come on over.
I'll be glad to stop by.
2 o'clock, 2:08,
right.
It really doesn't
it's
matter.
It's called reciprocity.
Boy, you are full of it today. Y'all take care.
Appreciate you, George.
Right,
you too. Appreciate George Plaster stopping by. But I want to start here because... Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. And when I saw the SEC Media Day schedule, I said, SEC Media Days is in my city, and LSU Day is on my birthday. How much better could it get? Like, this is the best birthday gift I could ask for. Until I saw the news that the Titans signed DeAndre Hopkins. So when I said, nothing can get better than this, I think the man upstairs winked at me and said, here you go. I'll give you something even better because DeAndre Hopkins is a Tennessee Titan. Our initial reactions when we saw the news drop yesterday.
Pretty amazing. And D-Mates, you know, she sent the initial schedule, and it was going to be an LSU docket.
Uh-huh.
You know, 2 of the 3 hours were going to be LSU football wall to wall.
2.5.
Yeah.
Because I know that's what everyone cares about here.
Yeah.
Is my takes on LSU
But then
football.
The DeAndre Hopkins changed it a little bit.
Yeah. So you're welcome. Saved by D-Hop.
It made her change some things around. So... you know, we were going to do 2.5 hours of LSU. Now we're going to do two.
Just two
hours of LSU.
Yeah, that extra 30 minutes is really going to help us out.
Exactly. But, no, I wasn't surprised when I saw it. I guess I was more so surprised that the information was released on the day it was, like yesterday of all days. Like it's a slow day. You would have thought the Titans would have wanted – you know, it to be like the first thing Monday morning, sign them, announce the signing or whatever. But I know they couldn't keep it, you know, under wraps that long.
Right.
So what we are understanding is a 2-year deal with incentives. I believe he felt that this was probably the one team that would, you know, get close to with incentives to, you know, what he was asking for. You had to believe that New England wasn't close at all. You had to believe that any other team that was trying to get into the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes wasn't close. And the Titans, more or less, they had to make the deal. They had to. They were sort of, I still do believe they were sort of forced. They forced themselves into making a deal. Not to say that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins isn't worth it. But I think it was all or nothing for them. It was like, we got to get him. And if we don't get him, that was going to be a big stain, not on Rand Carthon, but I think it would have been a big stain on Mike Vrabel.
Do you not like the 2-year deal?
I think essentially what it is, it's a 1-year deal. the second
I was
year.
Gonna, I was yeah, going to start the line and have Derek finish it. It was the first thing I said, is a two-year deal at this stage of your career is really a one-year deal.
Yeah. So,
and I hope that that's the case, because to me that's the key to this whole thing.
Yeah, because if you look at it, if it's truly a two-year deal, there are some things that I believe the Titans are going to have to think about here. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm sort of, you know, jumping ahead a year. Let's just, you know, obviously after this, I don't want to concentrate on this year. But if this is a true two-year deal where they're locked in for 2 years, well, what do you do with Ryan Tannehill for next year?
Mm-hmm.
Do you try to bring this group back next year and see if you, depending on how this season goes, do you then say if they make it to the playoff? They don't necessarily have to win the AFC South. Say if they make it to the playoff.
Right.
What do you do then the next following year?
You can figure it out.
I understand you can figure it out. That's why I'm led to believe this juncture of his career, a two-year deal, is essentially a one-year that they can get out of the second year. Because a lot of the monies that he will earn will be this year through incentives that will get him up to the 15 if he can't meet all the incentives.
Two-year deal, $26 million contract with incentives up to 32, base of $12 million year one with incentives up to 15 in year one. I don't know how much money that is guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen a breakdown of exactly how the money is broken out.
It's like catches,
exactly what's guaranteed.
And yardage.
Yeah, incentives up to 1 million for uh-huh. yards, up to 1 million for receptions, uh-huh. and up to 1 million for touchdowns.
It's pretty straightforward.
Basically,
a quarter
of
a million for each tier is what it looks
yeah.
like.
It's standard.
Is that pretty standard? I was wondering.
It's pretty standard when it comes to receivers. When I redid my deal with the Titans, they put in their escalators that were attainable. And I think I received all of my attainables
mm-hmm.
Throughout the 4 years that I was the next 4 years that I was here with the Titans. So those things will be attainable for him. Majority of them. I'm not going to say all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The 95 catch thing, I don't know how attainable that's going to be, unless because they still got Derrick Henry, and this offense still is going to run through Derrick Henry. And then you got more pass catchers with D-Hop. Now you can rely on Chigakonko, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably one of the incentives that may be a little bit hard to reach. I'm not saying he can't, but when you have other pass catchers, young pass catchers, then it's going to be a little bit harder to attain than 95. Now the other ones, you know, 65 catches and 75, those are more attainable, I believe.
And I'm sure that was the D-Hop side of things, as people saying, hey, throw us a little bit of a bone
yeah.
here. Throw us some attainable incentives.
Exactly.
Willie, your initial reaction. You saw the deal went through. You saw the term, the money. Your thoughts?
Well, I think he got closer to OBJ than I thought he would get. I just didn't think that somebody would actually go that high. But the Titans basically did in the first year of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
They got very much in the ballpark for Odell Beckham Jr. And so that had to satisfy, to an extent, mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins. I wonder when they went to that level. You know, I wonder if they were at a lower level for a while, and then as it got closer and they saw an opportunity to maybe close the deal, maybe they went up a little bit. I like, and again, this is the common ground I have with Jared. Enjoy it while it lasts, right? But Jared has been saying, look, and I agree, you go as high as you need to for 1 year. As long as it doesn't blow up your budget for this year, having a guy on a one-year deal and paying him more is good, as long as you keep the flexibility for next year. Because at the end of this coming year, everything's going to have to be reassessed. As Derek mentioned, the quarterback, Derrick Henry's going to have to be reassessed. Kevin Byard's going to have to be reassessed. You may be turning the page on your entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So you want the flexibility to move on if you can. I think they've done that here. It looks like. I don't know the details of the second year, how much is guaranteed.
And
because
that,
those incentives, you're glad to pay those.
Yeah.
If he's doing well, that's a win-win.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's another one of the strange things is we haven't seen the guarantees. We haven't seen the full breakdown of the contract. And whenever we don't see the guarantees, it's normally because the agent doesn't want that out there. So is it not very favorable? Does it not look great for DeAndre Hopkins? Is it a little bit more of a team-friendly guaranteed deal? And then DeAndre can earn the rest of the money and the rest of the incentives.
See, it doesn't say specifically, but I per NFL media, I'm reading CBSSports.com. You know, they laid out all the tiers for the incentives, right? And they said a two-year, $26 million deal, $12 million the first year. Now, is that guaranteed? That's what I don't know. I would guess
probably not.
And obviously, it goes up to he can get up to $3 million if he hit every single incentive. If he has over 90 catches, if he has 10 touchdowns, and 1,050 receiving yards. So it's really, you know, the receptions, it's kind of set up the way he's been going about it the last couple years. A lot of catches, not a ton of yards, you know, not a huge average yards
volume
per catch. But, you know, he could get up to $3 million. But it looks like it's $12 million as long as he's going to be on the team. You know, that's higher than I think I would have gone. I mean, we have to prepare for it not to go well. And what does it keep you from doing? I mean, are there any other moves they have to make as a result of signing him? I don't know. That's what I think we're going to find out in the coming days. That's what I'd be curious to know when they have the press conference. Does this force them to move some stuff around in the budget this year?
Maybe so. But I think I feel a sense of relief. Because the longer this was drawn out, the more and more bleak it felt to think about how, I don't know the right word to say, maybe nerve-wracking it was to go into this season with two unproven receivers. You had DeAndre Hopkins into the mix, and things looked so much different. Things looked so much more certain for this Tennessee Titans offense. But I want to continue the conversation coming up next, because you two bring up the two-year deal, and I actually kind of like it. I like the flexibility. We'll use that word. I like the flexibility that the Titans have given themselves with DeAndre Hopkins' contract, and I want to get into that coming up next. Plus, it's D-Hop Day, so it is your day. We're taking your reaction all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game.
How much do you think the quarterback position played into this? We know Tannehill struggled a little bit last year. Can Hopkins kind of help Tannehill out enough to get this team back in the playoffs?
Yeah, I absolutely think that Ryan Tannehill, I'll start there, in terms of the way players view him, is I find it to be a little different, actually, than what most of the fans or how they view him. You know, Ryan's a really tough guy in terms of playing the position. He doesn't get injured very often. He obviously has great understanding of what the offense, what they expect from him. And we've seen some moments from him that where he looks just like, he looks like a star quarterback, but he's certainly struggled in some tough, high pressure moments like we saw against the Bengals. Two seasons ago to get into the playoffs. But something you got to give the Titans every year, they know who they are. They have a very clear identity. And while the roster will never really jump off the paper and scream, deep playoff type guys, they always find a way to get there because they're so comfortable with the type of football style, the style of play that they've leaned into and have become over the years. And I do believe that DeAndre Hopkins really takes them to the next level on offense where they've been hurting. Because the defensive side of the ball is fantastic. They're great. They're a top 10 defense. It's just this offense certainly needed a shot in the arm. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, he could do it.
That was Diana Russini on ESPN Radio. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 of the game. We're live out here at SEC Media Days, but it is a DeAndre Hopkins day. And like Diana Russini said, you're not looking at the Titans roster and saying, man, oh man, is that a Super Bowl roster? And nor do I think the move to get DeAndre Hopkins is a go-for-it Super Bowl window kind of move. But what it does, it alleviates pressure from Treylon Burks. It forces defenses to pay attention to DeAndre Hopkins, take some of the pressure off of Treylon Burks, take some of the pressure off of Derrick Henry. It gives Ryan Tannehill another weapon in the passing game. So while it's not, oh my gosh, this is a completely different team, it just makes it a much more balanced offense, adding D-Hop into the fold.
Well, there's so many questions that I think we have already talked about a lot during this process of what would the offense look like if he comes in. So I want to get D-Mace's take on one in particular here in a second. But let's set what it does to the perception, right? This is among the stories that are happening in the NFL today. There are not many, but this is the top one, right? He's a big name. And what he's done in the first 10 years of his career is historic, right? He's in the top 10 yards of all time. But remember you were talking about Caroline one particular day about the power rankings. If you look at the odds to win the Super Bowl or power rankings, the Titans are somewhere in the mid to low 20s, depending on what you're looking at, right? So Sportsline stats on CBS, just for example, they said the impact Hopkins is expected to have, the playoff chances rise about 6%. And now that may not seem like a lot, but that's significant, right? Before, they had the wins at about 7.9 as the over-under. With Hopkins, it goes to 8.3. Again,
about a game and a half.
Not huge. Yeah. Well, it's four-tenths of a game. It's about half of a game. But that's big, I think. For one guy, like if they signed Willie D, it ain't going to change 0.4. It's going to change 0.001. It might go down. Yeah, that's right.
Now, young Willie didn't go up.
Yeah.
Old Willie
died. It's going down. So 0.4 is not nothing, right? That's my point. That's what you're hoping for, and you're hoping that it's even more than that. It's still not going to have them. So their chances went of making the playoffs 31% to 38%. Winning the division 20.9% to 25.8%. So about a 5% difference of catching the Jaguars. But so it's not in the grand scheme of things a ton, but you hope that it's the right guy in the right spot. So this is the question to me, Derek. Set aside the budget question. He's a guy that's used to being targeted a lot.
Yeah.
How does it fit with the way that the Titans have gone about it?
I guess it depends on, one, how the offensive line gels. I think a lot depends on that. It depends on, two, how does Tim Kelly differ from the last offensive coordinator in regards to calling plays during the game? I'm not talking about, again, I believe any offensive coordinator worth their salt can put together a game plan. Because you're putting together a game plan with your other coaches, but only a select few can call a game plan and have it executed the exact way you want it to or close to it.
Right.
We know there's only a handful of guys that can do that consistently, and we know who those guys are, those coaches are. So I think it depends on, those particular things in regards to D-Hop and what he can do for this offense. Again, if this team was in another division, I don't think it would be as big of a signing. But because they're in the South, and many think, even though Jacksonville did come on last year and did win the AFC South, many people look at two things. Well, they barely won, had Tennessee, had their quarterback. Jacksonville would have more than likely not won the last game of the season. And then they look at it from the standpoint of, was that a one-year deal for Jacksonville? People don't trust Jacksonville as much as they trust a Tennessee with a D-Hop to win that division. Now, many people are still going to pick Jacksonville, but when you add DeAndre Hopkins to your team, I think because of the division, it puts you closer to winning it than not. If the Titans were in the West, AFC West, signing D-Hop wouldn't make a difference.
Right. This is a winnable division.
Exactly. It's a winnable. And it says, because we looked at it and looked at this receiving core, and it wasn't a sexy-looking or delightful, whatever adjective you want to use for this receiving core, It wasn't.
Not delightful, I think, is a very nice way of putting it.
Exactly.
it wasn't a little tasteful. Bit more like, okay.
It wasn't tasteful. The receiver core, if you look at it, was like, okay, a bunch of guys, minus D-Hop, a bunch of guys.
A bunch of unproven that, guys.
That is not proven.
Yes.
Absolutely. But now you had D-Hop in there. Now it's, okay, this is a group. Even though you added one guy, it changes the perception of how people look at the group now.
I think that's a good point. A couple terms that I liked Joe Rexroad used, it sort of slots guys much closer to what they should be.
Exactly.
Instead of like your number two,
you got to try to play over your head.
Trying to be a number one, yeah. And number three, trying to be a number two. It
right.
gives you what a lot of people are calling the alpha dog,
uh-huh.
right? It gives you a proven number one. Now the question is he still going to be able to play at a number one? But I do think if it puts everybody else on the right plane of what their role should be, the right seat on the bus, mm-hmm. that's a good thing in and of itself.
I need to look at A.J. Brown. In his prime here. Not to say AJ's, I don't think AJ even has reached prime yet. Still going up the ladder. But his prime here in Tennessee, what was his targets when he had 1,100 yards, I think somewhere around touchdown, 9,000 somewhere.
I'll
where
tell
he
you
was just that
seconds.
Guy. How many targets did he get with a Derrick Henry that was in his prime, an offensive line that was really good. You had a number two receiver that was a legitimate number two, and a tight end that was a legitimate tight end.
His best year was 2020, A.J. Brown, with the Titans.
Uh-huh.
106 targets.
So you're talking about 106 targets compared to a guy that is used to getting targets.
But that was only in 14 games.
Yeah,
so it was
two games. Yeah. So
that's, you know, that's a fair amount.
So just say 16 games, because I think that they hadn't moved up to 17 yet.
Right.
16 games, 60 targets, let's just say 75 targets he mm-hmm. would have gotten for the whole season. That's a far cry from 160.
It is.
Is he going to what did he get last year? I think he got
it was over 10. It was fourth in the league. He was targeted the fourth most of anybody in the league
exactly.
per game.
Right.
And remember,
it was
you didn't 10 play that many
per
games.
Game. It was 10 per
over
game.
10 per game.
Yeah, so you're talking about a guy that got close to 160 targets in a shortened season for him.
Uh-huh.
Will he be able to get those targets here?
That's the
question.
Unless you change the whole offense to revolve around him, and I don't think that's what you're bringing him in to do,
no,
right?
So
there's an adjustment on both.
Deal.
There's
yeah.
an adjustment. That it's going to have to be made.
Exactly.
And I think that's an understanding mm-hmm. of D-Hop coming here is, look, you're not going to get 250 targets in a season.
But remember, Tim Kelly was his guy calling yeah. the plays in 2019. He had a big year, and it was a lot of targets.
Uh-huh.
And hey, I got it. Coach Kelly and I, we know what we're doing, but this is a different group of players.
But
you know,
that was
that's
a team that had to throw the ball to win.
Right.
The Titans don't have to throw the ball.
Exactly.
Away,
and let's continue the conversation coming up next, because we know that adding DeAndre Hopkins just adds another dimension.
Exactly.
Adds another layer to this offense. It adds another weapon for Ryan Tannehill. It adds a veteran in the room, so Treylon Burks doesn't have to necessarily be that veteran presence in a very young and unproven wide receiver room. But what do we think of the term? What do we think of the money? What do we think of the contract? And what do we think about how we haven't really heard a ton about the breakdown of the contract? Because honestly, I like something that I didn't think that I was going to. And we'll get into that coming up next. Of course, your thoughts as well, since it is your day on a D-Hop day. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game.
Teron, in addition to having Hopkins wrapped up now, what's kind of the next thing that the Titans need to do as they head into training camp? Is there anything even?
Yeah, there's definitely something that they need to do. And it's funny, I talked to Rand Carthon at the owner's meetings. And it was after, obviously, they drafted Peter Skoronski, and I remember we were talking about offensive linemen, and he said, you know, you can never have too many tackles. Well, guess what happened? Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, their starting right tackle, got involved in the gambling. He didn't gamble on football, but he was placing wagers on sports while he was in the facility, which is a no-no. It's coming out clear now that we understand that. But he's suspended for the first six games, so that's going to hurt them. They have to find a way to reshuffle that offensive line, which they already shuffled. So I would imagine they'll be bringing in a tackle, you know, that could at the very least be a swing guy. So that's the major thing. They have to address that offensive line. And keep an eye on cornerback, too, because, you know, teams always look to add corners. And obviously, you know, the Titans have invested a lot of young picks, high picks in some of their young guys. Caleb Farley, a first-round pick, Christian Fulton, a second, Roger McCreary, a second, over the last 4 years. But you can never have too many corners either.
That was TD. We will chat with TD at 1 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts, the breakdown on the DeAndre Hopkins signing, his thoughts on the business side of the deal, the football side of the deal. The Tennessee Titans have signed DeAndre Hopkins to a two-year deal, $26 million contract with up to $32 million in incentives. Now, we have not heard a breakdown of what money is guaranteed. We do know that the incentives are based off of touchdowns, receptions, receiving yards, the standard kind of incentives you'll see with a wide receiver. But what I did not expect, and what I honestly didn't think that I would like, is the two-year deal. I fully expected DeAndre Hopkins and his people wanting a one-year deal, collect the cash, prove yourself, and then move on to maybe what's considered more of a contender the next year. I figured the Titans would sign him to a one-year deal because you capitalize on this veteran core of Tannehill and Henry and Byard on the defensive side of the ball. You add DeAndre Hopkins into the mix. You maximize what you can get out of the offense, and then you move forward with the young guys in year two. But I actually kind of like the Titans signed D-Hop to a two-year deal.
But is it really a two-year deal, though?
It can be if they want it to be.
Right. If it goes well,
right,
you have the option of keeping him. But if it doesn't go well, you can get out of it. To me, that's the
yes.
key. And that's
and
what it should be. That's what you need to do.
You have
at
that
this stage
flexibility.
Of yeah.
And you could look at it and say, well, in the second year of D-Hop's deal, if it does go well, you have the option to run it back with Tannehill and Henry in 2024 if you so choose. If things go well, and Ryan Tannehill trio, you can run it back in 2024.
But that will be very complicated because they will all need new deals,
uh-huh.
basically.
Yeah.
And
the Titans are not doing that.
And you have the Jeffrey Simmons big money starting to kick in, right?
Or you have D-Hop for Will Levis's first year as a starter, and you have a veteran pass catcher for your young quarterback. So you have options
mm-hmm.
with
yep.
whatever you would want to do in 2024, but you don't have to decide it right now.
Yeah,
you can see how it goes. Look, see how the offense looks. See how D-Hop kind of fits in into the fold, and then you make up your mind about 2024. Whenever you so choose. You don't have to decide today.
Right. I think that's the key. You have the flexibility. To me, that was the most important thing, even if they did go a little bit higher than maybe ideally this year. But D-Mace, if you wanted to run it back next year, to me, it's very complicated. But that would be a good problem because that would mean you had a good year this year, right?
Yeah. It would mean that you made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You won the AFC South, and you feel in your mind that, you know, okay, another year, you know, with Hopkins in this system, with this quarterback, we can run it back. But, you know, the decision then would have to be, do we bring everybody back?
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to have a veteran pass catcher for a young quarterback.
Because I would agree.
He can rely on that one guy, especially a guy that's been as productive as D-Hop. So them bringing him back, and then again, you know, if you bring him back for a second year, say, you know, he finished the season with 75 catches, you know, close to 1,000 yards, and he's more or less your red zone threat to go with Chigakonkwo and Treylon Burks because, you know, I believe Treylon Burks will be that as well. But if it does work out with D-Hop this first year, you can always bring him back that second year, which would be a bargain.
Yeah,
that second year it would be a bargain for a guy that fits well within your offense that you can, you know, couple with your not necessarily rookie quarterback but your young quarterback and potentially Will Levis
if you want to keep him.
Yeah.
That means that it went well
exactly.
this year, and I still think it is up in the air whether it will go well.
I mean, I'm not, and I know Titan fans, and they should be excited. You should be excited to bring someone of his caliber to this offense. But I just want to just everybody be don't rush into it like, oh, we're the team to beat now. You got to proceed with caution with this because he is getting younger. He is getting older. He hasn't played a full season in two seasons. Now, we know why he didn't last year, this past season because of suspension, but he's missed games even without – I think he missed a game or two. But then the prior season, he missed games because of a hamstring. So I think we need to all approach this with D-Hop. I still want Traylon to be my number one guy. Traylon still needs to be that guy. I'm not prescribing to, oh, the pressure goes off of Traylon now. No, you're the number one. You're the first-round pick. You are the guy that they're hoping they can have for the next 7-8 years on this roster.
But I do think there is some pressure alleviated off of Traylon Burks.
I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, we have another pass catcher, yes. But he has to be the number one guy. Traylon has to be the number one guy. D-Hop has to be 1B, you know, in this situation. D-Hop can't be the – well, he can, but I think if this offense is going to thrive, they need Traylon to be the number one. They need D-Hop to be the 1B so this offense could flourish the way it wanted to, just like it did when A.J. was the one Corey Davis was the 1B, so to speak. Now, Corey could play a one if he had to a game here or there, but he wasn't the number one. D-Hop can play the number one if he needs to for a few games, but they can't rely so heavily on him being the number one. Traylon has to be a number one in order for this to work.
A friend of mine does radio in South Carolina, and I saw his tweet yesterday, and he said, you know, I think this is a good signing for the Titans, adding D-Hop, adding a veteran presence. But he said, but I'm a little bummed because I wanted to see Traylon Burks flourish. I said, what in the world about this signing makes you think that Traylon Burks isn't going to or can't flourish? Traylon Burks is still going to get the reps. Traylon Burks is still going to get the attention. Traylon Burks is the investment of the future. DeAndre Hopkins is just kind of your bridge piece. DeAndre Hopkins is the guy that can be there, that can add another, you know, another weapon, can take a little bit of attention from the defense. DeHop is just your bridge. Traylon Burks is going to get the investment. Traylon Burks can still become, I think, what Traylon Burks was drafted to be, even with DeHop in the fold.
Well, there has to be this concerted effort from Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel to understand this. Because Tim Kelly, I think, will always fall back if things are going not the way they plan. He will always, you know, fall back to D-Hop because I have a relationship with them. I know what he's about. So if we ever get in a jam or if the offense is not going, I can target D-Hop. So I'm comfortable with that. They can't allow themselves to get too comfortable and sort of put Traylon on the back burner. They got to understand, like, Traylon's our guy. He's the number one guy. But D-Hop is there to be that 1B or that number two guy. Because the only way this is going to work is if your future is your number one and the guy that you brought in can be your 1B or your number two. That's the way these things are going to work. If you rely so heavily on D-Hop, I think you're going to miss an opportunity with Traylon to get better as the season goes.
And we have to remember this. It's not about, as much as we love seeing the fantasy football stats, we all play fantasy football, and you see the fantasy breakdown immediately when he signs. Like, what? How many catches, you know, when should you draft DeAndre Hopkins, who's been a guy that's been like a first round or second round fantasy pick?
Right.
Right. Number one wide receiver for years.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to be the case, but the key is, the players have to go for efficiency. It's about efficiency and not how many times does each guy get the ball. You got to get the ball to Derrick Henry. You got to get the ball to Chigakonkwo. You've got Traylon Burks you got to get reps to. But it's all at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Each week could be different. But the key is to have an efficient offense and have a collective better offense than what you had last year.
Exactly. And it's what D-Hop does for this offense. Not necessarily
how many catches,
how many targets.
Yeah. But he's got to be okay with that, too.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I promised you that it was your day, and it is your day indeed. So we are right to your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game, and the Game Nashville app. We've got a bunch of thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So unless we have a thought,
let's go.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to the phones. One texter texts in says, unfortunately, we as Tennessee fans have seen this scenario one too many times. Tennessee is where receivers go to die. They come here to get paid and take it easy. Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones. That is something that we have heard throughout the entire D-Hop-a-Palooza. Mm-hmm. It's something that I saw a ton on Twitter yesterday of, oh, well, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be just the next receiver to end his career in Tennessee. I don't see it like that. Julio Jones's career at that point, I mean, he was consistently injured, the hamstring issues. It's a different vibe to me with DeAndre Hopkins.
I feel like it's a similar vibe. But I don't think that I don't blame fans for saying, man, we've had a long list of people. The minute this got announced, right, there were so many people saying, Eric Moultz, Randy Moss. They started tweeting down the list.
Right.
So I get it. You should probably naturally, as a fan, have that feeling. But you have to look at each one separate. But I do think there's risk when you take a guy that's 31. He had the PEDs. Uh-huh. He had the injury. There is risk.
There's totally risk. But how much more risk is it to go into the season without a DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I mean, they had to have him. There's no question about that. They had to have him. I think it's a little bit different for me from this respect because I don't think let's just stick with Julio. We could talk about Robert Woods, too. I'm just counting the guys that were in the Mike Vrabel, mm-hmm. sort of his 5 years since he's been here, going on six, I believe. Let's deal with Julio first. When it happened, it never, ever seemed like a Mike Vrabel, I want this guy. Mm-hmm. It never seemed like that. It was almost a forced deal where one guy wanted him, one guy really didn't want him, mm-hmm. but it's like, okay, I take him since you say I got to have him. I take him. And those two guys never mesh. The head coach and the receiver, Julio and Mike, they never mesh.
I picked that up at the
minute Mike Vrabel started complaining about blocking with the receiver, with the numbers that Julio had put up. This, you're talking about a Hall of Fame guy, and you are pissed off about blocking.
Don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team with Julio.
He was never – I don't think he was ever a Julio guy. To me, it wasn't a match made in heaven at all. So from that standpoint, I think it was different. And then I think, too, not to say that Julio doesn't have dog in him, because Julio will go down as one of the greatest receivers that ever played this game. But I think Julio was at a point in his career because of the injuries and him not being on the field, the frustrations of not being that guy that he was. I think he lost a little bit of that go get him, like that dog in him. I think he lost a little bit of it. I don't think D-Hop has lost that. I think D-Hop still has that dog in him. I think he still wants to go. I think he wants to prove himself. I don't think Julio came here to prove himself to anybody. I think D-Hop is coming here to prove himself to everybody that he can still play. This is a guy that just said a week ago or 2 weeks ago that I want to play until I'm 37 and I can have 1,000 yards up until then. That's a guy that is trying to prove. He's trying to sort of skew the narrative about him that he's slowing down, mm-hmm. that he's nothing more than a slot right now. A good slot, but he's not the player that he once was. So I think he's trying to prove something now. I think that's going to be the difference, I believe, in this situation. Not to say that it's going to be roses and he's going to catch 100 balls. No, but I think his mentality is totally different than what Julio's was when he came here. And then Robert Woods was injured.
He tweeted last night, DeAndre Hopkins tweeted, I always loved having haters and doubters, but I appreciate it even more now. Tighten up.
See, right, and everybody feels that way, right? I know that is something that I hope drives him.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, if he wants to play to 37, he's going to have to work his tail off. So it can't just be the motivation of, hey, nobody thinks I can do it. You've got to take that motivation, and it's got to drive you. And the thing that we keep talking about is he's got to understand that he's going into a next chapter of his career where he may not get the ball targeted to him 150 times.
And he has to adjust to that.
He's got to adjust.
Brian Texan. And says the Titans' best case scenario is it turns out like an Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb combination. Both guys flourished in their roles, and when the time was right, CeeDee Lamb took over.
Amari Cooper was still a young man. That's not there's no comparison. Amari Cooper still was an over 1,000-yard receiver. He's the number one guy in Cleveland now. Amari was at a different level than what D-Hop is at now. Amari is still much younger.
I would agree with that. That the specifics, it's not a perfect apples combination comparison, rather. But I think that the idea of both guys can flourish
the potential
in their roles. Best case scenario is that D-Hop leads Treylon Burks along, that Treylon Burks starts to grow, starts to add more maturity, starts to get more confidence within his role, that D-Hop can do his thing, that he can be that veteran presence. And once Treylon Burks is ready to fully take over and be that number one guy, that he can be the veteran in the room, then that's the point where, you know, DeAndre Hopkins' contract is up with the Titans.
But this, what people don't understand is this signing helps D-Hop more than it's going to help Treylon Burks. It will. For this standpoint, D-Hop, guy of his... Let's get into that
coming up next, because I think it's an interesting point.
Uh-huh.
Let's get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.